Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Zeoli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Zeoli listener.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
African-American voters, black voters in the election are going to matter so much in very, very critical places like Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and other places. Joe Biden says he was able to win that support in South Carolina, which propelled him to a big win over the weekend. Can that translate on Super Tuesday? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Zeoli Show on Twitter at Rich Zeoli and Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. But President Trump is working overtime to try to deliver for some of these communities that have a lot of black Americans in them. I want to welcome to the program Ashley Bell. Ashley is a policy advisor on entrepreneurship and innovation in the Office of American Innovation, and he's in Philadelphia today. Ashley, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I know that title is a little confusing. I appreciate you. It is spot on.
Well, no problem. It's happy to do it. All right. So tell us about these opportunity zones, what they are.
Well, I appreciate you giving me time on your show. And opportunity zones are a tool that were created by the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So when that bill was passed, inside of that law were opportunity zones, which allowed local and state governments to identify census tracts that have historically been had high poverty rates, have had failing schools, have had high crime rates, mortality rates that are above the national average. And you're able to send to the federal government these tracts of land saying, here's what we need help. We certified them, and now with these tracts of land certified, anyone in this country can take capital gains. And that could be you have a piece of property anywhere in the country that you sell off stocks from this roaring economy. If you sell a rental house or something that you inherit, anything that you sell is going to create a capital gain. You can take that money, and now you can invest it in one of these areas that needs revitalization and defer your taxes right now from the federal government. You will not pay federal taxes right now. And if you leave it there for 10 years, meaning that you're invested in that community for 10 years, whatever the appreciation is with no limit, if you sell in 10 years, you will not pay federal taxes on that appreciation.
Wow. That's a really good deal. And obviously, there's going to be places like Philadelphia, for example, where people can capitalize on that.
Absolutely. Philadelphia has opportunity zones all over the city. We'll be in Temple today at Temple University this morning for a half-a-day seminar educating small business owners on what this means for them. You know, this is important because you can use those unrealized capital gains and invest in real estate, in operating businesses, and in equipment. So this gives you a chance to invest in a small business or relocate your small business to an opportunity zone. If you're thinking about retiring in 10 years or you're an investor and you have a great company that you think can do well, it can do even better if you put it in opportunity zone because it's going to have an impact on that area. It's going to bring revitalization to that area. And if you leave it there, when you sell that property and you cash out, an incredible windfall for folks who are willing to invest in America's forgotten communities. And I think under this president, we've made sure that those forgotten communities are remembered by giving them the tools they need for revitalization.
Ashley Bell joins me. He's a policy advisor for the president. He advises on entrepreneurship and innovation in the Office of American Innovation at the White House. Now, what happens if the investment doesn't work out? What happens to the initial capital investment?
Well, you know, this is a free market system. And so you want to make sure that you're, you know, free market means good ideas will do well, bad ideas will not. So we're asking folks just to be educated on what you're investing in, like anything else. And so if you put your investment in, and the deal in the real estate does not appreciate in 10 years, or the business is not sustainable in 10 years, that would you lose that investment. So the key is you got to make sure that you're bringing business that you know about, care about, know they're going to be successful, and be ready to stay the long haul for 10 years. The reason that we want people to stay 10 years, and this is critical, because we don't want to just come into communities and start flipping houses or just doing, you know, sort of flash revitalization. This is about long-term sustainable revitalization. That means that, you know, the moment that you invest in a company in a neighborhood, you and I, if we put our money in there, we're going to care about the schools, we're going to care about the crime rate, we're going to care about all sorts of things to protect our investment. That additional amount of attention and care about that community is what all these neighborhoods need in order to succeed.
Well said. Ashley Bell, if people want to learn more about the program, if they would like to invest some of their capital gains in this, how can they go about doing it?
Absolutely. They can go to opportunityzones.gov. That's opportunityzones.gov. And their SBA, the Small Business Administration here locally, is here to assist with any business owner or anyone looking to invest in a business. We're here to give you the resources to help get that set up so you can take advantage of this great tool for our local governments and communities to have this sustained revitalization and take advantage of this great economy. The economy is doing well. The stock market over the last 3 years has been phenomenal. And so those gains that you gain, you can put them in places that need them and have a great social impact, but you can also make a substantial investment in yourself and your future.
Ashley Bell, policy advisor from the White House. We appreciate it, my friend, and good luck in Philly today. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you having me.
You got it. 855-839-1210. Dawn, were you surprised that Pete dropped out last night?
No.
No? Did you think he would do it yesterday?
Yeah, I was surprised because he was on the Sunday morning shows and then decided to drop out throughout the day. So, just as Yulia said, like, there's a lot of wheeling and dealing. So I just wonder which campaign wanted him to drop out, because you hear about all this, you know, strategic stuff, you know, that Biden doesn't want, you know, Klobuchar to drop out because that might give Bernie the votes. You know, it's like a chess game.
Yeah.
I know this is your wheelhouse, but it's fascinating to watch.
He doesn't want Klobuchar to drop out because she's like a firewall for Wisconsin, right?
Minnesota.
Why do I keep doing that? It's my dyslexia. I keep flipping the W and the M. She's a firewall there to keep Bernie. Bernie may win that state, and because of the proportionality of delegates, at least with her there, it's a firewall against Bernie. So, yeah, it's critical that Klobuchar stays in, but that's not until March 10th, that one. So she's got to go. She's got to be in this for at least another week. Amy. I watched Saturday Night Live. They have very funny. Did you see the opening?
Yes.
It was really good. And I love that the guy who plays Pete Buttigieg, he comes out, he says, "I'm Pete Buttigieg. I'm running for president for the next 3 days." I thought that was hysterical. But he didn't even make it 24 hours after that Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, that's what's bit. Funny.
That was, and then Larry David, who plays Bernie Sanders, who just basically does Larry David.
Yes.
Like, he's not even trying to do Bernie anymore. He's just basically Larry David. But that was really good.
But you said they're related. They're like distant cousins or something.
Yeah, I think somebody said that. Yeah. That's amazing. Bernie got on the wrong private jet by accident. Hate when that happens.
Ruh-roh.
He was flying and they put him on the wrong fossil fuel guzzling carbon footprint private jet. So he had to get on the new one. Walked on. Sorry. And then walked out. Imagine if he got on like Hooters Air or something by mistake. It would have had a heart attack right there. Got on the new plane. Bernie had a great, great weekend, not campaigning in South Carolina. Joe Biden, on the other hand, had an amazing weekend in South Carolina. He won tremendously, but he said some weird, weird things. Did you hear him talking about women, Joe Biden, over the weekend?
No, I didn't hear. Oh, no.
All right, so
I saw him on with Chris Wallace on Fox Sunday morning.
Oh, we have that. He used the wrong name. He's on with Chris Wallace.
And he did so well at the very end.
Doing so well, and then right at the end, he calls him the wrong name.
I can hardly wait to debate him on stage. I want people to see me standing next to him and him standing next to me. We'll see who's sleepy.
Mr. Vice President, thank you. Thanks for your time. Please come back in less than 13 years, sir.
All right, Chuck. Thank you very much.
All right. It's Chris, but anyway.
Chris. I just did Chris. No, I just did Chuck. I tell you what, man, these are back to back. Anyway.
No, it's okay.
I don't know how you do it early in the morning, too.
Safe travels on the campaign trail. Thank you, sir.
It was literally after he said he's not sleepy.
I know. Well,
it was literally, he said that, so I'm not sleepy. And then 2 seconds later, he's like, I don't know how you do this early in the morning. I'm still asleep.
Here's the problem. If it were at the beginning where he had just said goodbye to Chuck Todd, and now it's like, right. You know, Mr. Vice President, you're on now with this show. And it is like, it's a little crazy. But this was after a very long, extended interview with Chris Wallace.
Right. It wasn't a quick hit. It wasn't like he was taking questions from him in the... You know, in a gaggle. This was a one-on-one interview for a long time. I'm not sleepy, Chuck.
It's like, oh,
I don't know how people do with this early in the morning. I am half asleep.
Right,
I'm exhausted.
Every time these guys try and disprove the nicknames that Trump gives them, it just ends up making them look worse.
Right,
like Pocahontas. You know, Elizabeth Warren and how she had to prove that she. Had some Native American blood in her.
Took
and
a DNA test.
And that worked out very... And now Joe Biden saying he's not sleepy.
All right, you know, let's play that cut again, because it's so good as he defends himself for not being sleepy.
I can hardly wait to debate him on stage. I want people to see me standing next to him and him standing next to me. We'll see who's sleepy.
Mr. Vice President, thank you. Thanks for your time. Please come back in less than 13 years, sir.
All right, Chuck. Thank you very much.
All right. It's Chris, but anyway.
Chris. I just did Chris. No, I just did Chuck. I tell you what, man. These are back to back. Anyway.
No, it's okay.
I don't know how you do it early in the morning, too.
Safe travels on the campaign trail.
You're sleepy. You literally just admitted you're sleepy this time of day.
Here's the problem. It
plays
into a narrative, you know, whether it's true or not, because it's exhausting. And, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like to be on the, but it plays into this narrative like, no, granddad, it's me, Dawn, not my sister, Christine. It's not, you know what I mean? It plays into that.
It's like you expect Joe Biden a minute ago. Hey, we won the war. Look at them. Look at the people in Times Square.
So
Victory Europe Day.
So it just plays into a concern or a narrative that's already out there.
Bad.
Ouch.
Also,
a cringe moment.
He also said he was in the wrong state, too. He called it South North Carolina. Do we have that one, too, Greg? I don't know if we have that one or not.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, he said he was in South North Carolina. And then he confused an office which a Democrat, Jamie Harrison, is running for.
This poor guy.
This poor guy. First of all, this guy is African-American. Chris Matthews thinks that all black people apparently look like Tim Scott. But Joe Biden confused the office this guy's running for as well. This guy is running for the United States Senate in South Carolina, 6B.
And folks, now we need to stand behind Jamie Harrison, the next president of the United States, next senator.
Next president of the United States.
South Carolina.
Yeah, next president.
Oh, my God.
Idiot, you're the one running for president. He's running for Senate.
Oh, my God.
And then last week, Joe Biden said he was running for Senate, remember?
Yes.
He can't keep track of what he's running for, where he is, what time it is.
And again,
who he's talking to.
Yeah, and if it were this is exhausting to be on a campaign trail, but that's just it. It's a test. I mean, you're running through this, and the American people are, like, tough and judging you. It's a tough process.
Right.
And so it's the problem is now there's a narrative and a pattern to it. And people are going to, you know, look at that.
Stand up, Chuck. God love you.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Now, Chris Matthews, though, he thought that black guy was a different black guy because Chris Matthews, obviously, you know, Senator Tim Scott is one of my favorite senators, United States Senator Tim Scott. So he and Lindsey Graham are standing next to each other, as senators often do at events. And they're sitting next to each other, and they're pals. And Chris Matthews is talking to Jamie Harrison, the candidate running for Senate.
Yes,
he's talking to him, but as watching television, he sees an African American guy standing next to Lindsey Graham.
Oh,
all right, so he's talking to this black candidate, he sees a black man standing next to Lindsey Graham. Therefore, concludes it must be the same person, because obviously there can't be two black people in South Carolina. Take a listen.
Jamie, I see you standing next to the guy you're going to beat right there, maybe, Lindsey Graham.
Tim Scott.
Jamie?
Tim Scott.
Who's that?
That's Tim Scott.
Hey, I'm sorry. Oh, it's the other senator, Tim Scott. What am I saying? Big mistake. Mistaken identity, sir. Sorry. Tell me how you're going to beat Lindsey. Everybody knows Lindsey.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's Tim Scott. Stop. It's not him. It's not him. It's another black man. Believe
yeah,
it or not.
They're trying to help him out there.
Right. It's Tim Scott. Tim Scott. Tim Scott. Who? Ha, who? What?
Speaking of,
speak louder. Huh? Who's that? Huh?
I would love to see Joe Biden and Chris Matthews do an interview. Like which one would mess up?
Which one? Who's that now? Tim who? Huh? Tim. Oh, Tim Scott. Oh, yeah, Tim Scott, right.
Jamie, I see you standing next to the guy you're going to beat right there, maybe. Lindsey Graham.
Tim Scott.
Tim Scott. Different guy. Totally different guy.
Who's that?
That's Tim Scott.
Who?
I'm sorry. It's the other senator, Tim Scott. What am I saying?
I'm talking to you right now. Why would you be standing next to Lindsey Graham as you're doing an interview with me? You don't have a camera in your face. You don't have a microphone. How do I think you're doing an interview? I don't know. All I know is black man, and then South Carolina, and
poor Jamie Harris.
Poor Jamie. Honestly, poor Jamie. I don't want him to win, but I think the poor guy deserves a break after that, huh? Tim Scott is great. He's never invited on cable news outside of Fox News, so that's why you never see him on television. Chris Matthews would never have him on, but that was brutal. Who's that? Huh? Who?
Well, that's the thing. By yelling that, he just exacerbated the situation. Like,
yeah.
Angry
old man yells a cloud.
Oh, my God.
Who's that?
That's Tim Scott.
Who?
Huh? I'm sorry. It's the other senator, Tim Scott. What am I saying?
As my hearing aids were off.
Who's that?
Huh? Wait, is that Johnny? No, Grandpa. It's not Johnny. Johnny died in the war 30 years ago. Huh?
MSNBC has a history of doing this. If you remember, they also messed up Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. They have a history of doing
that.
This. Like, a lot.
The one guy, she's interviewing Jesse Jackson.
Jesus, it's Al Sharpton.
And she calls him Reverend Al, and he goes, I'm Jesse Jackson?
Oh, my goodness.
And she went, yes, you are. Sorry about that, sir. Yes. I'm Jesse Jackson? Right. I knew that. But Matthew sounds like just a crazy old person, like insane person. It was like just out of it. Him and Biden, the two of them. Where am I? Who is this? Chuck. What? Who? Tim Scott? Huh? The two of them should go on the road together. It's like Statler and Waldorf from the Muppets. They should travel together and do a show. Grumpy Old Men, starring Joe Biden and Chris Matthews, coming to a town near you. 855-839-1210.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you, Rich Zioli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Who's that? Huh? Johnny. He died in the... Johnny, good to see you, Johnny. No, it's not Johnny. He died in the wars, Grandpa, 30 years ago.
Who's that?
Huh? This thing on?
Who's that?
Wait a minute, there's two black people in South Carolina running for office? How is this possible? I don't understand.
I'm sorry.
I thought it's still illegal. Isn't it illegal now?
No, South Carolina? Come on.
Huh? No. What was that?
No, it's not.
Oof. Chris Matthews is also in trouble, by the way, for his sexist comments that he's had a history of saying. Joe Biden had a whole bunch of things to say over the weekend after his big win. First of all, the question of whether or not Joe Biden is going to be endorsed by Barack Obama, whether or not being endorsed by Barack Obama hurts him. He was asked about this again on ABC This Week with the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. Cut 9B.
You served as vice president for 8 years under Barack Obama. Is the fact that he hasn't endorsed you hurting you, and is it time?
No, it isn't hurting me, and I don't think it's time. He and I have talked about this in the very beginning. I have to earn this on my own. Remember, George, the first thing that everybody said when I announced the opposition, the Democratic opposition, said, well, Biden feels entitled because he's vice president. Imagine had the president endorsed me. It would have been, well, Biden's entitled because he thinks he's entitled because the president endorsed him. The president and I are close friends, and I have no doubt when I win this nomination, he will be out there full bore for me.
I'll be out there full bore for me. Over the weekend, Joe Biden was also discussing women and what happens to a woman when she's attacked. It's bizarre. I don't really understand it. But let's start with cut one.
We can change the culture. This is our opportunity, an opportunity to change the culture. I'll conclude by saying no man has a right to lay a hand on a woman for any other reason than self-defense. And I'm going to make a controversial statement that's always made. If someone in this room got up, took off all her clothes, and walked out the door, no man has a right to touch her. Zero. She can be arrested for indecent exposure.
What the hell is he talking about? What? He doesn't stop there, by the way. He goes on to describe a woman who's attacked in great detail. And this is at a rally in South Carolina. And people are just going, like, what is he doing? What is he saying?
A studio apartment. She wanted to go to a one-bedroom apartment in this complex. And by the way, this is Midtown Manhattan in an upscale building. And every time she'd go in to ask about it, her boss, the owner, the landlord would hit on her. So she said, I want my deposit back. I'm leaving. She was on location in New York City doing a shoot. She got a phone call on her cell from her landlord saying, I have a one bedroom for you. If you will stop on the way back home in the restaurant bar on the first floor, an upscale restaurant bar on the first floor of this in the 50s in New York, and meaning I think it's 57th Street, something like that. And so she stopped, walked in, and he hit on her again. She got up and walked out, except this time this guy, you'll remember this when I tell you, he hired two goons. They followed her out and they slashed her face with razors. Remember that? So she said she was coming to willing to testify in the Violence Against Women Act. And I wanted to warn her that she'd become victimized. Like what happened to Anita Hill, she'd be victimized by the process. And I said, let me ask you a question. I want to talk to you. I said, what did your mother say when she learned it? She said, my mother said, why were you in a bar? What did your girlfriend say? Did you have underwear on? Were you wearing a bra? How short was your skirt? What did you say?
What? What?
Oh my God.
What was that?
I don't even know.
Oh my God.
I don't even know what to say.
What just happened there? Who's that? Huh? Joe Biden? Ask her if she had her underwear on.
No.
Does anyone even understand that?
This is at a rally.
At a rally. Imagine being at a rally and listening to this. He's talking about a woman slash in the face. And they're like, what is happening right now? What is happening? This is a presidential rally.
So he's quoting something, I'm assuming, right? This is what.
I guess.
Why now?
I don't know.
Right.
I don't get it. By the way, Mike Shecky, Andrew Dice Clay, Bloomberg was back on the campaign trail over the weekend. Can we start with the original unedited and then add our little Dice mashup to this?
Sure.
So Mike Bloomberg was back on the campaign trail making jokes. I believe he pays people to laugh now, if I'm not mistaken. Cut four.
Now, I think I'm the only candidate to come to Wilmington, but all of them should visit. Senator Warren could go to Elizabeth's Pizza on Market Street. Klobuchar could do a Flaming Amy's restaurant. Senator Sanders could go to the KGB bar. When my speechwriter came up with that one, I thought that was pretty good, too.
He killed. Bloomberg killed. So now we'll add it with the Andrew Dice Clay. If you remember the comedian Andrew Dice Clay, when he back in the day used to do his nursery rhymes, and after every rhyme he would always go, "Oh!" So we decided to on Friday have a little fun with that with Mike Bloomberg. I guess Bloomberg got the memo and thinks he's funny. Take a listen.
Now I think I'm the only candidate to come to Wilmington, but all of them should visit. Senator Warren could go to Elizabeth's Pizza on Market Street.
Oh!
Market Street. Klobuchar could do a Flaming Amy's restaurant.
Oh!
It's just wrong.
Senator Sanders could go to the KGB bar.
Oh! Mikey.
When my speechwriter came up with that one, I thought that was pretty good, too.
Mikey Dice Bloomberg right there. The worst joke teller in the history of America. It's so bad. If he was president, we have to listen to his dumb jokes all the time. It'd be awful. How could we, as a nation, we couldn't do this? 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210. So now, where do things stand for Super Tuesday tomorrow? Obviously, Joe Biden's coming off the big win in South Carolina. Pete Buttigieg is out of the race. So now, tomorrow, the question is, can Mike Bloomberg get any delegates at all after the money he's spent? Now, if he does get delegates, does that mean he stays in all the way to the convention? I think it does, and I'll explain in just a second.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right. Great to be with you today. James Carville, who's a very, very smart guy, he has this prediction about what's going to happen with regards to the Democrat convention. I think this answers the question about whether or not Mike Bloomberg stays in the race or not. Cut 11B.
James, it's Nicole. Did we gloss over your prediction that nobody will get to Milwaukee with enough delegates?
That is the bet. There's a thing called predicted. There's a betting market in politics, right? There's like any vice I can find. Yes.
Explain. I've got lots of vices, but betting on the presidential primaries.
So you can actually
tell me more.
You can bet online, and they set a price. All right. It's 57 cents on a contested convention. So that translates into you would have to risk $114 to win 100. So it's almost a 60% chance, according to betting markets. Now, they change. They'll change tomorrow. They'll change next week. They'll change after California. But right now, they're showing that there's a better chance for no nominee on the first ballot than there is by some margin. So I thought that was interesting. And I think sometimes we get carried away with ourselves on election nights. It's like we did last Saturday. I mean, it established Bernie Sanders as the front runner, probably still a little bit. And I think Pluff agrees with me. It's still a little bit he's the front runner. So you can't take the foot off the accelerator here. You got to keep pushing ahead. This was a good night, but there's a lot of football left here.
Yeah, he's 100% right. So back to Mike Bloomberg, right? I think for Mike Bloomberg, as long as you win some delegates, you're in this thing all the way to the convention. Why would you drop out? There's no reason for you to drop out. There's no incentive for that. In Democrat contests in these Super Tuesday states tomorrow, it's not just about winning the state. It's about how much you win by and how much of the vote you get in both states and congressional districts. There are no winner-take-all states. Delegates are awarded proportionally, right? Delegates are awarded proportionally. This is why if you have billions of dollars and you don't think anybody's going to get a majority of delegates, you stay in the race. No reason to drop out. You just have to get some delegates and you're in the game. You're in the game. That's how it works for the Democrats. So if Bernie Sanders goes in and wins, 90% of the delegates in California, but Bloomberg still gets 5% of them, there's zero reason for Mike Bloomberg to drop out. Zero. He doesn't have to win a single state tomorrow on Super Tuesday. He just has to win some delegates. Think about that. He just has to win some congressional districts and get those delegates, and then he will have delegates to be able to compete in the convention in July. So when everybody's looking at this thing and like the old school rules apply here, they don't, because the party's not going to rally around Bernie Sanders. There's a gigantic civil war going on in the Democrat Party right now, and one faction is trying to stop Bernie Sanders from becoming president. And if they don't think Joe Biden has what it takes to go all the way to July, then they've got to pick somebody else. So here's how this could play out. Joe Biden could have an amazing day tomorrow and show everybody that South Carolina was not a fluke. The problem with that bet, though, is that Joe Biden doesn't have the money or the infrastructure in place in 14 states tomorrow to be able to run the board on Super Tuesday. Bernie does and Bloomberg does. See what I mean? So if Joe Biden has a terrible day tomorrow, people are going to say South Carolina was a one and done. You got to go. It's over. That's the question. But either way, if you're Mike Bloomberg and you know that the odds of anyone getting a majority of delegates on the first ballot are very, very slim, and you know the party wants to stop Bernie Sanders, and you know you could get to that convention with some delegates, I don't see Bloomberg going anywhere. I don't see Mike Bloomberg going anywhere. But Joe Biden, he doesn't have the kind of money Bloomberg has, so he's got to make a decision. If he doesn't do well tomorrow, he's got to make a decision. the party is, they are not going to unite around Bernie Sanders. If this were the Republican nominating process where they have winner take all states, then yeah, then what would happen is tomorrow, whoever won Super Tuesday tomorrow, the party would rally around that person. Maybe begrudgingly, maybe there'd be a holdout like there was with Trump with Kasich, but it really, it wasn't a significant holdout. And then they would all get behind Bernie Sanders. The reason why they're not getting around Bernie Sanders is because they don't want him to be their nominee. And so if you've got Bloomberg's money, you're staying in this thing all the way to July, and you're going to go to the first ballot. No one gets the majority. Then all of the delegates are released. And then you run on the second ballot and you win and become the nominee. That's the bet. That's the play Mike Bloomberg is making. So for those of you that think that tomorrow he's not going to win a single state on Super Tuesday, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He just has to win delegates on Super Tuesday. And he's in the ballgame. And the game, as James Garvel said, awful lot of football left to play. The game is not going to be decided until July at the convention, broker convention, because there is not a way mathematically for Joe Biden to get a majority of the delegates because of Bernie Sanders. And there's really no way mathematically for Bernie to get a majority of the delegates. And this is where we are. This is where the Democrats are right now. Bernie Sanders was asked about why he's having so much trouble with African-American voters. He was asked by the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos on ABC's This Week. Cut 10.
But let's talk about South Carolina right now, because, you know, we spoke the morning after South Carolina 4 years ago, and you conceded that you have to do far better with African-American voters, who, of course, one of the core constituencies of the Democratic Party. You didn't improve much yesterday. Why are you having so much trouble with African-American voters?
Hey, I thought you were on my side.
Took him by surprise there.
One second, George. We did. We won the young.
Don't you love when Bernie makes that noise, by the way? I don't know exactly what it is.
I know. What is that? It's like.
He thought he could go on there and just coast for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's like it's Stephanopoulos. He's one of mine. Yeah. One of my people. Caught him off guard, that question.
That was literally the first question Stephanopoulos asked him.
Right out of the gate.
Yeah, right out of the gate.
Bernie was shocked.
One second, George. We did. We won the young African-American vote, and we are winning in terms of polling, some national polling. We're actually ahead of Biden in terms of the African-American
votes.
I think
60% of the African-American
we are making.
Last night.
No, Biden did very well last night, but we did win among younger African-Americans.
What's with this guy? He's supposed to be our people. What's with you, George? Why are you turning on me like this? I came on here for softballs. They said there'd be softballs and snacks in the green room. Wow. The snacks were low energy, and these are not softballs.
In some cases, we are beating them nationally and certainly among younger people. We are putting together, George, a coalition, a multiracial, multi-generational coalition of African Americans, Latinos, whites, Native Americans, Asian Americans. We have the strongest grassroots movement.
Not fake Native Americans, George. I need to make that clear. George. Wah, 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 wah. Not fake Native Americans like Pocahontas. I mean real ones. Not like Elizabeth Warren.
Any candidate in the history of this country. To order to beat Trump, we are going to need the largest voter turnout in the history of this country. And I don't think you can do that unless you have a message that appeals to the working class and the middle class of this country who have been ignored too long by the political establishment.
George. Johnny Cook on Twitter. I'll check in on social media. Johnny asks, don't candidates need to get a minimum of 15% to get delegates? Yes, you do. That is the threshold to get delegates, 15%. But I don't think that's an impossible thing in 14 states. I mean, you think about all 14 states. Can Mike Bloomberg crack 15% in at least one of those states tomorrow? I think probably it's probably pretty good odds for him, right? This check-in on social media brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. They really do matter. And thank you to Cherry Hill Volvo for sponsoring this connection. You can comment at facebook.com/Zioli Show. American Wally on Twitter says, Mini Mike Bloomberg reminds me of Dark Helmet doing Shecky Green. Little Spaceballs reference.
Dark Helmet, yeah.
Chris says, most presidential candidates aspire to be lucid, concise, and informative. Joe Biden works very hard to sound like Aunt Bethany from Christmas Vacation.
Grace.
She died 30 years ago.
the blessing.
He wants you to do the blessing. Do we have Joe Biden with the steak, Greg? I sent you that. I don't know if you grabbed it or not.
I didn't.
All right, we'll get there. Don't worry. We'll get there. Let's stay with this for a second. What's that?
A steak?
Yeah, a state.
Oh, state.
He once again had to combine states to figure out where he was.
No, I can pull this up right
it's
now.
Painful.
Thousand.
Oh, wait. Oh, this stupid computer.
All right, well, don't worry. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Don't forget, Friday is our USO radiothon. We'd love to see you there. Bob is in South Jersey. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Very well. Thank you, bud.
Just wanted to say, they have no agenda, the Democrats. The only thing they have is to beat Trump. And President Trump has done a wonderful job, as everybody knows. The economy's strong. Prison reform. It's just incredible what this man has achieved, given what's going on with him.
So you don't think any Democrats are offering a credible alternative in terms of policy or anything like that?
Not at all. Not for the American people.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, I hope that continues to be the case, Bob. Thanks for the call, bud. I appreciate it very much. What Democrats are trying to do is to try to paint President Trump as somebody who cannot handle a major test on his watch like coronavirus. And I started the show today by reading the AP fact check. Democrats distort coronavirus readiness. That's the Associated Press fact checking that point. Now, look, I don't know the future. None of us do. We don't have the ability to be soothsayers. We can make bets, but. Could coronavirus spread and become a massive pandemic? I don't know. Bill Gates says it's possible based on the transmission rates, although he thinks it's not likely. You know, could the stock market crash because of coronavirus? I mean, it could. I don't know. That's the point, right? You run in politics as you run thinking the worst stuff could happen, and you're ready for it. You're prepared for it. That's how you win an election. And I think that. When you see the president going out there and having to say the media, it's a hoax, as they criticize my response, he's saying that because the Democrats so badly want to paint him as a guy who just cannot handle a crisis. That's why Bloomberg last night spent millions of dollars to do a 3-minute infomercial, which ran on CBS and NBC. The purpose of that was to show that Donald Trump can't handle a crisis, but I can. See, so that's their message. So to Bob's point about them not having a real policy plan to offer, I agree with them. They don't. What they want to do is present it that the president can't handle these kind of things. That's why they've been spending so much time here going after the president's response to the coronavirus. And Bill Maher over the weekend also suggested the president's going to declare martial law over the coronavirus. This was on his HBO show, Cut 3.
You don't know what's going to happen. What we don't know is Bernie needs a revolution to show up. He needs people who have never voted before. Yep. Now, they are not showing up in those numbers in the primary, but we don't know. But now, since Trump, I think, is not going to leave anyway, might as well run Bernie. He's not. And by the way, when the virus gets bad, he's going to declare martial law. Watch that.
Oh, my God.
That could happen. That could totally happen.
Martial law. So there you go. Martial law. I mean, the president could theoretically do it now if he wanted to, say, to prevent the spread of the virus, I'm declaring martial law. Any day now, that martial law, I keep hearing about it. Any day now. And by the way, this was missed in the media. The Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, they announced a peace accord with the Taliban, and we are going to bring all the troops home from Afghanistan. Kind of a big deal. Kind of huge. And then Bloomberg was on 60 Minutes last night with Scott Pelley. Scott Pelley brought up the issue of women who think Mike Bloomberg is a sexist pig. Cut 16.
In 1990, as a tongue-in-cheek gift, your employees immortalized some of your sayings in a booklet called The Wit and Wisdom of Michael Bloomberg.
I don't think I ever saw the book, but I do remember it.
One of them has you describing your Bloomberg terminal, and the quote in the book is, quoting you, "It will do everything, including give you..." A euphemism for oral sex.
Okay.
I guess that puts a lot of you girls out of business.
Well, I didn't write the book, so...
Did you say these things?
I don't remember saying them. I can tell you that years ago on the trading room floors, things were different. I apologize for that. I'm sorry if somebody was hurt.
You don't remember.
If I annoyed somebody or hurt somebody, I apologize. I can't go rewrite history. I can only tell you now, it's a different world.
It's a different world, but the question is it a different man?
Oh, I think for sure you evolve with times. We're all a product of the world we live
in. By the way, Bloomberg's been a different man like six times in the last 20 years. He's been a Republican, a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, a Democrat again, a Republican again, and I believe at some point also a Jehovah's Witness.
Born again.
I might have made that up. Yeah, born again.
Born again, Bloomy.
Yeah, he's changed a million times. He should have said that. He goes, I'm literally 16 different people from back then. But he didn't take that advice. All right, keep going.
Bloomberg was named in lawsuits three times in the 1990s by female employees offended by his alleged comments. One suit was settled, two were dismissed.
How can you be the standard bearer for a party that claims the high ground on the rights of women and minorities?
Because I brought down the murder rate. I am doubled the cut the gap between rich and poor education. I created 500,000 jobs, 175,000 units of affordable housing. We did all the things to reduce poverty that anybody could possibly do. And when I left, I think it's fair to say most people, women, minorities, they would say it was the best 12 years the city has had in modern memory.
Now, Bloomberg clearly is one of the worst candidates ever, but he's got billions of dollars and he's got what it takes to be able to just keep in the race till July at the broker convention. I think that that's what his game plan is here. All right, 855-839-1210. Let's say good morning to Dawn on this Monday. Dana Lash will be here at 8:20, by the way, with her new book. It's going to be a beautiful day today, Dawn, huh?
It is. Good morning. 39 degrees, bright skies. Grab your spring coat today. No winter coats necessary. And Zioli Show News sponsored by Wawa. So coronavirus updating Americans still at low risk of that virus. President Trump retweeting just minutes ago from the World Health Organization, WHO, on reducing your risk of COVID-19 or any flu.
Who?
Hand wash. Who?
Who?
So he was retweeting that, so I thought I would mention it. Just the basic hand washing.
Wash your hands.
Your mouth. Yeah.
Don't touch people either.
The vampire move, you know, where you lift your elbow like you're a vampire.
You got to cough into the elbow.
Yeah, cough into the elbow. Stay home if you're sick.
Time. It's my move.
A lot of schools, including my kids' schools, they sent out notices, said, hey, if you're sick, if you have a fever, stay home.
Stay home.
Don't
Good.
Tough it out.
By the way, I think it should be the rule at the workplace, too.
Yes.
Like Joe Sebelia last week came in, he was hacking up a lung. Nobody needs your germs in the workplace. Stay home. If you think that your productivity matters to the company, if you got a virus, you spread it, and now 10 people are out.
Yeah.
It doesn't help.
You're not a martyr.
Right. Don't be a martyr.
Stay home. So as a precaution, a lot of students are complaining about this, like Villanova, Drexel, Temple, because they're bringing home all their students, especially studying abroad, maybe in Italy, etc. So these kids are bummed out because they're like in Rome.
Oh, imagine that. You're on your college, right? The big trip.
I can't imagine.
You're there and you got to come home. Oh, man. What a bummer.
So a lot of them putting out on Instagram and Twitter saying, well, it is spring break. We're in Paris now. We're not in Italy or we're not wherever they don't want them. So we're going to spend spring break in, you know, Paris.
Oh, there's worse things than that. I mean, come on.
Tough life.
Yeah, right.
In New Jersey, no.
Cry me a freaking river, kids.
In New Jersey, no confirmed cases, but Governor Phil Murphy, New Jersey.
New Jersey!
He's holding a news conference this afternoon to talk about how he is preventing the spread of
single-handedly New Jersey, just me. So I'm going to tax coronavirus. It's going to leave like everybody else.
Yeah, tax. So they're speaking of, you know, people complaining about things. New York State officially, this is the first weekday that their plastic bag ban is now in effect across New York State.
Ah.
And people, it's gone viral. People are not happy. They're really complaining. So after all the complaints, they announced that you won't get the fines or anything until April 1st, April Fool's Day. So you won't get the fine. But you have to pay for all the bags, paper, plastic, whatever.
And then if you try to smuggle in a bag on the black market, what happens?
Yeah, you get fined.
Oof.
They're fining people. So people are not happy in New York State. We'll continue to watch that one. So there's a beauty queen speaking out after getting the boot from a parade. So this is Madison La Ancelotta, Miss Staten Island. So she had her crown.
Miss Staten Island. That's
right.
A thing.
Miss Staten Island.
How you
Island.
Doing? I'm Miss Staten Island.
That's it. So she had her crown, her sash that says Miss Staten Island, of course, her dress that she was going to wear for a borough parade over the weekend. And then the pageant officials called her up and said, sorry, you cannot be in the parade because she had announced she was bisexual.
Oh.
So they said, no, we don't want, they can't be in the parade.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because the St. Patrick's Day parade you're
yes.
talking about. Oh, right.
So she was
right.
supposed
okay.
to be like on a float in the St. Patty's Day parade. So,
but I was looking forward to marching.
So she couldn't be in the parade.
I'm so bummed by this. I was going to march, represent Staten Island.
I just love that story. There's a new, this is on the cover of like USA Today about math scores.
She looks like Staten Island,
I know,
too.
Right? But she's very attractive. I don't know why they, I don't know, whatever. She's very attractive.
I like
Who
girls. All
know?
Girls are like that.
Yeah.
Come on. What do you think happens in the bars after they close in Staten Island?
Everybody looks better after closing time, is it?
Well, so, there's a song about it.
So the latest, there are all kinds of new studies about literacy and math scores. And America's our ranking of math literacy has gone down. They're blaming Common Core.
They should blame me because I bring the numbers down. I'm so bad at math.
The Zioli. So they're saying the Common Core that was instituted about a decade ago has never budged a score. So it'll be interesting to see if they get rid of it. They're saying we teach math differently than other countries in the world who score high.
Right.
So we're 31st in the world.
They teach math the right way. We teach it the whatever way that is under Common Core. Yeah.
We focus on memorizing formulas. I can tell you this, but they make the kids show them. It's so tedious. They go, no, you got to show every little step.
Right.
So if you're a smart kid and you got it in your head, which are most kids, no, you can't do that. So I'll be interested to see. That's a big deal, though. So finally, more trouble for Prince Andrew. Of course, we know that he made headlines because of his friendship and all those reports with Epstein. Well, now he's in trouble with the Queen Mother. Why? Because apparently back when he was dating a supermodel, he was taking her to Buckingham Palace and let her sit on the Queen's throne.
Oh, not cool, man.
Not cool.
Not cool.
Yeah. You can't sit on mom's throne. So apparently,
get that little skank off my throne.
So this woman, Caprice Bure, she's a household name in the UK. She was on the reality TV show Dancing on Ice. So she's been speaking out, saying that she, sat on the Queen's throne.
Make sure you lice all my throne. That little hussy sat on my throne. How dare she?
The forecast from NBC 10 First Alert Weather. The high today, 62 degrees. Beautiful sunshine today. Tomorrow we'll have 59, but 70% chance of rain. Still mild through the week, but enjoy today. And enjoy Wawa, which sponsors this news and weather. Any two Wawa Sizzlies, now $4. From Applewood smoked bacon to savory sausage, grab any two delicious Sizzlies you crave. It's Sizzly time, and breakfast is better than ever. Any two Sizzlies, $4. Gotta have a Wawa. Reporting from Radio.com World Headquarters, Dawn Stensland, Zioli Show News.
Thank you, Dawn. Well done. 855-839-1210.
The Rich Zioli Show on your schedule. This is the Zioli Show podcast.
All right. Very excited to welcome to the program the author of a brand new book called Grace Canceled and also an international star of talk radio, Dana Lash. Dana, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing good, Rich. That's an introduction that I'm going to have to, that's one of the grease in my head to get it out of the door. Thank you for the time.
Well, you're welcome. I was reading your book last night. I love how you brought up my buddy Norm MacDonald as one of your inspirations for writing this.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And what I was saying was because I read this interview with Norm, he was talking to the Hollywood Reporter, and I was really shocked by, I was just really kind of knocked off my feet by his quote. And what he said was so unbelievably true. But the crazy thing, Rich, about what he had said is that everyone was so obsessed with, I guess, the outrage. Still, people were in the outrage cycle of Roseanne Barr and everything else. And then they were outraged that anyone would dare even not defend what she said when she made her remark about Valerie Jarrett, but just even so much as say, hey, can we just kind of calm down? And can we remember that there are, even if you're mad at a person, they're still a person. And what's the point of trying to extract an apology from someone if all you're going to do is just destroy them? I mean, you're not interested in any kind of spiritual or moral or ethical rehabilitation. And it was just, it was really honest what he said, and very, very raw. And I just was shocked at how people were glossing over that because of the outrage.
You had a great line in your book. I loved it. You said, in the old days, people would apologize. Now the apology is the last words before they send you the guillotine. You know what I mean? Way you phrased it exactly was just perfect. The apology doesn't give you any redemption right now in our culture. The apology is just something you say, and then they still take you out back and you know, take you to the wood chipper.
Yeah, no, and that's true. An apology is just a formality anymore for surrender. Nobody's interested in redemption. And that's the big thing. And that was the thing with the Norm quote, what Norm MacDonald had said was, you know, in the past, people would apologize and they'd be forgiven. And then everybody would get on with their lives. But today, no one does that anymore. And so no one wants to apologize. And that's the key thing, because no one wants to, first off, people don't want to apologize for things that they didn't do wrong. And one of the hallmarks of outrage culture is to set up everything as this big, giant offense. Everything is so unbelievably outrageous that they have no energy reserved for things that are truly outrageous. And so as a result, no one wants to apologize. No one wants to offer forgiveness. And that just further polarizes everything. That's why we have this insane polarization with politics and culture and everything else right now, mainly because of this.
I agree. Grace canceled how outrage is. I'm sorry, I just lost my glasses there. How outrage has gone too far is destroying lives, ending debate, and endangering democracy. Dana Loesch joins me, my guest. She, of course, is the host of the Dana Show, which is heard around the country. You know, the cancel culture thing is insane, and I think, I mean, I could be a victim of it today. You could be a victim of it tomorrow. It's become a thing. And you know, I was reading your book, Dana, and you said you didn't want to write it. You had the idea for the book, but then you just really, it was a struggle for you to even have to do it.
Yeah, no. And that was, I kind of fought with myself for this whole book, because I think everyone expected me to write this big, giant, polarizing, bomb-throwing kind of book, which is, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, since I was, you know, in politics in my 20s, it's kind of, you know, I'm from the Ozarks, for crying out loud. That's our thing, right? I mean, right. Everybody's kind of a bomb thrower, and you take off your flip-flop, you go chase someone to slap them down. That's just kind of how it is. But I really, honestly, the premise of this book was tested the entire time I was writing it. And I thought it was just like some big cosmic joke. I'm like, this is crazy, right? I mean, and it just made me not want to write it, which all the more, you know, I realized, okay, yes, I should be writing it. And it dawned on me how ironic it was that I was writing it. And which further made me realize that maybe I am maybe right now the only person who should be writing this. But it's not easy. And I think that's what some, not all, but you know, maybe some who kind of are like-minded think that it's somehow sanction of offense. It's sanction of sin. It's sanction of bad behavior. It's acceptance of awfulness. And it's not. I mean, grace is just unmerited kindness and unmerited favor. And we mean everyone has it, regardless of whether or not they deserve it. And that's the key. And that's what's so hard for people, I think, to accept about grace, is that you're still in it, even though you don't deserve it. Everyone is. And that's where the true equality is.
Tell us about how important it is to speak out against cancel culture. I bring it up on my show all the time. I think that whenever you see, and this is the key too, right? Not only should you speak out when people that we like are canceled, but you really should speak out when people you don't like are canceled. I would be the first person to jump up and say, if Bill Maher's show was canceled because of outrage, I would say that's wrong, even though I politically don't agree with him. You know what I mean? I think it's very important for us to do that, Dana.
I think that the strength of a principle, part of the strength of a principle, is the consistency of the application. And I remember this was probably about 7 or 8 years ago when Keith Olbermann still had a show on MSNBC, and it was discovered that he had donated financially to a couple of Democrat candidates. Well, it was discovered MSNBC suspended him, and it looked like they were going to fire him because of this. They said it just showed it was just too much partisanship. I thought, you think a donation is worse than anything this man has ever said on his airtime? You think that it's more partisan than anything that he's ever broadcast? At least he's honest about it. And that's what I couldn't stand. You had people that get on networks that they are successful through the veneer of bipartisanship when they are some of the most partisan people out there. He was at least honest about it. And I cannot stand the man. You know, I would have to make the conscious effort to slow down if I saw him in a crosswalk and I was driving. But I mean, I dislike the man greatly, but it was ridiculous that they were actually going to penalize him simply because he was honest about his partisanship. And I stuck up for him and I defended him. And all my other fellow conservatives and libertarians thought I was nuts. And he actually thanked me on air, and he made the mention that I don't know that I would have chosen making the same choice you did, which is true, because I have more grace than he does and I'm more consistent than he does. But that wasn't the point, because what was wrong was wrong.
Yeah, and it was Will Bunch, who was a writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, who I got to deal with all the time. Didn't he say you should be deported or something like that?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the things that I always wanted to do that my no publisher would let me do is to put some quotes from my haters on the back. And so I had pages of these, and I submitted them to my publisher, and I said, I want these on the back. I don't want to go, and I don't want to get, you know, very glowing. I don't want to get nice glowing blurbs from people. Let's just have a bunch of hate. And they thought it was crazy, but they still put some of them on there. But yeah, Will Bunch had told me, I don't know where I needed to be deported. I mean, my family ancestry is American Indian and Irish. So, you know, I mean, I don't know where he was going to send me to, but I thought that was interesting. Yeah, Will Bunch. He seems like a nice guy. But you know what? I'm going to give him grace. I'm going to pray for him. This is what we say. I'm going to pray for you.
There,
do that.
There you go. Dana Lash, Grace Canceled. The book is available everywhere. Pick it up. It's especially if you want to save our culture from this cancel culture nonsense, which is truly shutting down debate. This is a great book. Grace Canceled, Dana Lash. Dana, thanks for coming back on the show, and let's do it again sometime.
Absolutely, Rich. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, tomorrow is Super Tuesday. The question I have for you is, do you think Joe Biden is going to do well tomorrow, given his win in South Carolina, or was that a one and done? Let's talk about what could happen. What's at stake in Super Tuesday tomorrow?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.